If you've heard me preach before, you know that I do like to preach out of the Word. So I'll be going to a lot of Scripture. I like to go back and forth with Scripture, and I like Scripture to interpret Scripture for us. So I'll be covering much. So today we're in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And so I'm going to read that, and then we'll see where the Lord leads us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let us pray. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that your hand be upon me during this sermon. Lord, you know how anxious I get of your word. I get excited about it. Keep me at your pace. Lord, let them hear your voice. Because it's your word that saves, Lord. It's by your word that saves. And we glorify that, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So my focus today will be on the last verse there, 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is a verse that I get the opportunity to share quite a bit. It's a verse that I would, Pastor Ed in the past, he'll say verses and he'll say, this is a refrigerator verse. You've probably heard him say that before. This is a refrigerator verse. You need to have this verse on your refrigerators. You need to have it in your house. But I would even encourage you to have it on your heart. This is a verse to have memorized. This is a verse that you should know, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I don't know if you've caught it, but not last week, but the 2 weeks prior when Pastor Ed was finishing 2 Corinthians and when he was giving the opening of Leviticus, he actually mentioned this verse, John 14, verse 6. He didn't know I was preaching on this. God revealed it to him to put in his sermons, and I just love to see God working like that. I tell my youth class when I'm teaching on Sundays, pay attention to the pastor when he's preaching multiple times. When he's preaching, he speaks words that I have spoken in that class. And the Holy Spirit does wondrous things. Just open your heart to it. So before we get to where I want in verse 6, we need to get some context here. We need to see what's happening before I dive into it. So chapter 14, when Jesus is speaking here, it's in his final week. It's in his final week of his life here on earth. His final week. Matter of fact, it's Thursday. It's a Thursday. And this is the last night with his disciples. The very last night with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And Jesus is being completely aware of all that he would suffer in a few hours. And I'm sure Jesus is already feeling the weight of sin bearing upon him. The weight of our sins bearing upon him. And yet we see Jesus is still concerned for his apostles. Still showing compassion. Always showing his love for them. John 3:16, which again, our Wednesday night group just memorized this verse. They all got it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 states, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, on his last night with his disciples, feeling the weight of bearing our sins, yours and mine, all who believeth in him, and yet he's still pouring out his love, still pouring out his love toward his apostles. You know, the apostles had walked with Jesus for 3 years. 3 years. And yet they're having trouble with hearing what Jesus states in verse 33. So 33 of chapter 13, Jesus said, I am with you a little while longer. I'm just with you a little while longer. The apostles are troubled by this. Their Messiah is saying, the time has come. The time has come. Three times Jesus had clearly stated to his followers that he was leaving. Three times. In all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he mentions this. Three times on his way to Jerusalem, he breaks this out to them. I'm going to show us in Mark. I'm going to stick with the book of Mark here to show us those three times. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark chapter 8. It's not that far off here. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. If not, I'm sure it'll be on the screen. Yep, very good. Mark 8, 31. And he began to teach them, this is Jesus, that the Son of Man, again Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and by the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So this is the first time he has revealed to his apostles, his disciples, that he's going to die. You just go to the next chapter, Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. And they being, again, his apostles, his disciples. And then, so that was the second time. And then we go to Mark chapter 10. So it's 8, 9, and 10, almost all in the same places on each chapter. So Mark 10, verses 32 through 34. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. So he's going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. Again, the third time, Jesus has told them three times before, and now on the last night before his crucifixion, Jesus states, little children, I am with you just a little while longer. And they did not understand. And I'm not sure if you and I were sitting there with them at that very time if we would have understood. For this is the King and the Messiah, the Lord and Savior. First John 3, verse 1 states, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are, children of God. We see the love of our Lord pouring out even when he knows the time has come to go to the cross. Jesus is trying to comfort them, to prepare them. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe also in me, Jesus says. Believe also in me. What a strong statement. Jesus is saying, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe. The disciples, now get this now. The disciples had seen the dead rise. They've seen dead rise. They've seen the lame walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Even the wind and the waters obeyed Jesus. All creation obeyed him. And Jesus is now saying, believe. Believe in me. Do you remember what Jesus told Thomas after his resurrection when Thomas first saw him? You got to remember, if you're thinking back, when Jesus first revealed himself to the apostles, Thomas wasn't in the room. Thomas made the comment that, I won't believe unless I touch. I have to touch him. I have to touch those nail-scarred hands. I have to touch that wound in his side. So when he appeared again, Thomas was in the room. Jesus states, because you have seen me, have you believed? He's saying that to Thomas. Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Blessed are those. That is speaking not only to Thomas, but that's speaking to each and every one of you today. Each and every one of you. I have never seen Jesus raise someone from the dead. Have you? I've never seen someone who's blind receive their sight. Never seen the deaf hear. I've never seen God stop the wind or the waters like he did with the apostles. Yet I believe. Blessed are you who believe, who's not seen. Believe. And then Jesus says, I must go, for I go to prepare a place for you, which happens to be the title of the sermon today, a place for you. I want you to grasp that. I want you to dwell on that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's like it's speaking to you right now. I go to prepare a place for you. If you're sitting here today, Christ is speaking to you at this very moment. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Know that you're a sinner. Know that the wages of sin is death. And know that Christ, and Christ alone, has not only prepared a place for you, he has prepared a way for you. A way. This should excite us. It should fill us with joy. Amen? Amen? Amen. Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. All of them. And it's according to what you read, that there was over 500 of those prophecies. Over 500 of those prophecies. Speaking of one to come, the Messiah to come. And he fulfilled all of them. All the way back to 400 years before his birth. All the way back to the promise in Genesis chapter 3. All the way back. God has always been leading a way to Christ. And Ed did speak on that last week. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That where I am going to prepare a place for you, you will be there also. You will be there also. Take comfort, brothers and sisters. Whatever troubles you're going through, whatever worries have bogged you down, Christ has you. For you are his children. and he has prepared a place for you. Jesus, being with the apostles for 3 years, then states to them, and you know the way where I'm going. You know the way. You know it. And then comes Thomas, right? Then comes Thomas. And I can't blame Thomas for his question. I can see me asking this question. And I'm sure you can see yourself asking this question. If you've been walking for Jesus this long and he says, you know the way, I can see a question coming out. I could see me saying, Jesus, I didn't get that map. Where's the road map? I need to know the way. Or can you give me the coordinates? I need to punt that into my GPS. I want to make sure I know the way. Or give me the address where I can put it into my Google Maps where I can follow it there. I need to know the way. Thomas wanted to know the way. He wanted to make sure that he got there. He didn't want to miss it. The same way I don't want you to miss it. I want you to know the way. Right? We need to know the way. It's really no different than when Peter, just a few verses back, when Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? Just a few verses back, right there in verse 36 of chapter 13, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Peter wants to know also. And I guarantee you all the disciples wanted to know. It just happened to be these two that spoke out. And then Jesus gives the I am statement. The I am statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the sixth I am statement given to us in the gospel. The sixth I am statement given to us in the gospel of John. And you cannot hear I am without thinking of the very first time this is spoken in the Bible. Moses, Mount Sinai, seeing this bush on fire, yet the bush was not being consumed. Moses approaches the burning bush. God speaks, tells him he's on holy ground. He has to take his sandals off. Conversation goes back and forth. And in the discussion of God sending Moses back to Egypt to bring his people out of Egypt, Moses asks, whom shall I say sent me? Whom shall I say sent me? What if Israel asks for your name? What if they ask for your name? And in Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me to you. So when Jesus says these I am statements, he's making a loud voice here saying who he is. He is God. He is the I am. And in this case, Jesus states, I am the way, Thomas. I am the way. You know, years ago, there was this young TV evangelist. He's up and coming, very popular. He promoted health, wealth, and happiness. And because of his popularity, he was being interviewed on TV. And the question came up, is Jesus the only way? Is Jesus the only way? Is Jesus the only way for all people? And he could not give an answer for this. He couldn't give an answer. He said, his comment was, only God knows each and every one's heart. Only God knows each and every one of your hearts. And I would agree with that. God only knows each and every one of your hearts. But that didn't answer the question. The question was, is Jesus the only way? And the Bible makes this very clear. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way. No one goes to the Father except through him. His answer should have been a resounding yes. Jesus is the only way. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. You know, we want to make many excuses. We want to say there's many ways, but there's only one way. There was another female talk show host, very famous woman. And on her talk show one day, there was a discussion brought up about Jesus and heaven. And she kept insisting there must be more than one way. There must be more than one way. Look at all the religions out there. There must be more than one way. She was very commanding on this, very demanding on this. There must be more than one way. And I was amazed that they allowed this to happen, but one woman who was in the audience stood up and stated that Jesus is the only way. And they brought her a mic. The reason I said you need to have this memorized, you never know when you might have a mic handed to you, right? You never know. They brought her a mic where they could hear her better. And she quoted John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. I was amazed that they let her say it. Of course, it didn't stop her from arguing. The host, she still didn't believe it. Kept saying there must be more than one way. Must be. Must be more than one way. Matthew 7:13 through 14, Jesus states, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus is the only way. The world would like you to believe that there are many ways to be reconciled back to God. The world wants you to take the wide path, the wide road, the broad way. But Jesus states, I am the way. And it's very important that each of us must hear, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He said, me, no one. It's only Jesus. It's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, I've got some verses here that you can write under the way. First one's Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right or to the left. For it is the narrow way. Walk in it. Parents, here's one for you. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way. Train up the child in knowing Jesus. Train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train them up in Christ. Isaiah 35:8. I love this one. A highway will be there. A roadway. And it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. But it will be for him who walks that way. It'll be for him that walks in the way, and fools will not wander on it. the highway of holiness. It does not matter how good you are. I've had people tell me this. I believe that if God is a good God, then God will see how good I've been. Ultimately, they're saying, see how good my works have been. That's what that is. That's what that's saying. See how good my works have been. There's no amount of work of yours will ever reconcile you back to God. Make sure you hear that. There's no amount of work of yours that will reconcile you back to God. No amount of work that you can do. I don't care how good you are. That will not get you into heaven. It's only by the work of Jesus on the cross. It is His work that will save you. There's no other way. No other way but Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Now, I want to give a plug here for Sunday nights with Pastor Matt. Matt's been going over covenants. We just finished the Adamic covenant. It is the covenant of works. And it's been glorious. It's been rewarding. It's been some good meat. You might say meat. It's been strengthening those who've been here. So I want you all to be strengthened by it. I want you all to hear what Matt has to say with these. Because Adam, in the garden, if he would have complied with the one thing that God told him not to do, his was based on works. His good work was to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's all he had to do, not to do that. And that work he failed in. That work he failed in. He was our headship, and we've all become sinners under our headship. So I encourage all of you, again, on Sunday nights, to be coming and learning this stuff with us. Going over the covenants. Very good stuff. The second that Jesus mentioned there, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. Jesus is truth. He not only speaks it, He is it. He is truth. You know, we live in a time when truth seems to change by the second. What man may believe one day will change the next. For many, truth is a matter of opinion. The opinion, I have the right to be me, whatever that is. And tomorrow it may be something different. That's not truth. And Scripture speaks on this, Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. We are no longer to be children. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. When we finished up Ephesians, when I closed it, I spoke on the schemings of the devil. That's what it's talking about there, the craftiness and deceitful scheming. We are to be aware of this. But speaking in truth, speaking in the truth, in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ. Only Christ. You know how you are to show love to someone? You speak the truth to them. You speak the truth to them. Truth that is never changing, always holding fast, always leading you down the path that will glorify God, always keeping you on the narrow way and the narrow road. So how do you know the truth? It's right here. It's right here. Read it. You want to know the truth? Read it. daily. Read it. I don't care how long it takes you. Read it and keep reading it. Pray that God opens your eyes to His Word. So under truth, here's some verses you can write. John 8, 31 through 32. John 8, 31 through 32. If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Jesus will make you free, for He is truth. Psalm 25, 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Lead me in your truth, Lord. Psalm 85, 11. Psalm 85, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth daily. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. His truth is eternity, everlasting. Jesus is truth. Jesus has given us His handbook for living. He's given us His handbook for living. It's the Bible. And the true Word of God tells us where we came from, why we are here, where we are going without Jesus, and where we're going with Jesus. The truth shows us how we are to live. The truth alerts us to right and wrong. The truth shows us how the best way to handle situations. The truth shows us how to relate to others, myself, and to God. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And lastly, Jesus stated, I am the life. I am the life. Jesus in John chapter 11 is speaking to Martha. You know the story here. Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus had died. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Jesus heard about it, held off going to bring glory to God, for them to see His glory. And when He gets there, Jesus states in John 11, 25, and He's talking to Martha, and He tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he who believes in Jesus, will live, even if he dies. He who believes in Jesus will live, even if he dies. You know, I'm a planner. I like to organize things. I like to plan things out. I don't have to write it out. I like to work it out in my head. I have things planned out of how I like to do things. You know, when I'm at work, there's certain tasks I know I got to get done. I plan it out. I work it. When I get home, there's things I plan on doing. That's how I am. You tell me a date and a time. If I tell you I'll be there, I'm there. But I've had to learn that my best plans for life can't guarantee the health and safety of the people I love. Those of us who are most organized often end up the most frustrated because we can only organize a part of our lives. You know, I can go to the doctor for my annual checkups. I can advise my wife to do this. I can advise my family to do this. And even if they all comply with going to the doctor for checkups, there's no promise of our next breath tomorrow. The best plans that we can make, there's just no promise that is there. The Bible tells us, compared to eternity, our life on this earth, as Scripture states, it is like a vapor. The time on this earth is like a vapor. Use it wisely in glorifying God while you're here. We're just a vapor. John, that's in James 4:14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You've all experienced this in your lives. Most of us has, if not all. We're just here for a little while. We're just a vapor. Yet Jesus stated, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Jesus is life. All life exists because of Jesus. And for all who believeth in Jesus shall have eternal life. He's promised it. Turn with me to John 1. John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles. If not, we'll have it up on the screen for you. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. All the way back to Genesis, when God said, let there be, and it was. Jesus. Jesus is life. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Let me turn there real quick. John 10, 7 through 10. Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came for you to have life and have it abundantly. 1 John 5:12 states, he who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. To have eternal life, it is by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. No one comes to the Father except through him. No one. Jesus' life turns our insignificance into significance. Jesus says that you have worth. That you are not an accident. Jesus' life equips you for the life beyond this human existence. Jesus has equipped us for eternity, and Jesus has prepared a place for you. He's prepared a place for you. And Jesus will take us to be with himself one day. That's what he said. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is his promise. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. Jesus is life, and you will receive it abundantly. Abundantly. The question is, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you believe that with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Have you confessed that? Have you confessed that publicly? We do that by baptism. Where you publicly confess that you do believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And you're not ashamed. You do it confidently. I'm asking you today, if you've not done that, please do so. Meet with me afterwards. Meet with Pastor Ed and Pastor Matt. Meet with one of the elders. Know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You are just a vapor here for just a short while. Don't wait. I beg and plead with you on that. Don't wait. We are not guaranteed that next breath. Don't wait. Believe. Jesus has prepared a place for you, a glorious place.